Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
JLab has something for everyone, with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLabs joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products are pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
The Volume.
It's Snaps, presented by FanDuel. Football season is here, and there's no better place to get in on that action than FanDuel. But why, T-Bob? Why? Well, let me tell you, okay? First off, the app is safe, secure, it's easy to use, okay? FanDuel always has these great exclusive offers where you can get juice, win a little more. When you win, you'll get paid fast, no waiting, no BS. And they got a ton of ways to play, man. Spread, money line, over, unders, totals, props, same game parlays, everything. Live betting. If you get to the show late, it doesn't matter. Just live bet it. They also have the teasingly vague same game parlay plus. I don't think it's a streaming service, but there's only one way to find out. It's by downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app today, promo code SNAPS, and make every moment more this football season. Hello, what up, what up, what up, what's up, everyone? Welcome in. It is Wednesday, baby. Wednesday, 2 Eastern, 1 Central, which means it is time for a brand new episode of Snaps, your new favorite daily college football podcast. Okay, we do this every single day. We're so happy to be brought to you by the Volume Sports YouTube channel. Shout out FanDuel. If you're signing up for the first time, promo code SNAPS. Allow me to get a little advertisey here on you, Aaron. Right now, every Thursday, thanks to FanDuel, you can get a no sweat same game parlay. So if you play that Thursday night NFL game and you want to go for a same game parlay, if it doesn't hit, you'll actually get that money back and free bets to use. How about that? Promo code SNAPS when you sign up. Edward, Brian, Dylan, A-Bars, what's happening, everybody? Bilbo, what's going on, man? Aaron Murray, QB1, what's up, dude? How we feeling today?
Well, I feel great. This is the first day where I woke up. Yep. It was like 48 degrees outside. I threw on the shorts and the sweatshirt. Like to me, like this is football weather. This is the weather I live for. Anytime that I can wear shorts and maybe the sweatpants, but just, you know, I got some furry legs, so they tend to stay a little bit warm. And then the sweatshirt top, I'm a happy man.
You've got a furry everything, Aaron. I don't think you just made up the nickname Furry Murray. How long have you been nicknamed Furry Murray?
Oh, man. I almost left my middle school because of the nickname. Bullying, and you have to bring up these memories. I got dubbed Furry Murray back in, I think, fifth, sixth grade. I was the first boy to get hair under his armpit. I'm just more mature for my age. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was new to the school. The girls liked me. What can I say? And the guys had to pick on me somehow. So, and I was a little furrier.
You were like, hey, have you ever seen pubes before? Do you wanna? No, man, look. Well, hey, look, it's the Tyrion Lannister thing, okay? What does Tyrion say? That with which people seek to attack us with, right? You have to cloak yourself in it, wrap yourself up in it, use that as your armor so they can no longer get to you. And the nice part about you is that body hair is literally a cloak. Like, you couldn't unwrap yourself if you wanted to. So Furry Murray is good to go. Let's go, dude. And by the way, yeah, it is also over here. It is true, like, fall feeling weather. Now, for Louisiana, that means that yesterday it only reached 85, and it was a not humid 85. So it was, like, awesome. And I have been loving rolling around outside. Okay, let's go ahead and get into what today's show is going to be. First, we're going to start off with a little Arkansas-Alabama talk. We've seen the Tide look a bit vulnerable in their only test this year against Texas. Can Arkansas challenge him? We'll talk about a little Lane Kiffin as he had a very Nick Saban-esque rant against his own fan base. Probably make fun of Mario Cristobal and Miami a bit. And then we have the hottest segment in the game. We do it every single Wednesday. It's called Use Your Words. And we answer questions on a whiteboard, which is always fun. Well, one day maybe the audience will get to see my whiteboard skills, but that might have to be for like a little Snaps bonus stream sometime.
That's Snaps late night. If you want to see what T-Bob is drawing, it's quite spectacular. I will say I knew you were an artsy guy, but you kind of took it up a notch. Very, very impressed with T-Bob's skills.
All it is it's just Jonah Hill from Superbad, right? That's all it is. It's just a bunch of happy-looking male genitalia doing a bunch of different things. Very chalky, but, you know, I don't know. I think it's kind of charming in a way. So we'll save that for Snaps After Dark. Right now, Aaron Murray, let's get into it. Top of the list here. We always seem to talk about one of the Dragons, and today Alabama is back on the menu. Okay, let's be clear about this. What's Alabama favored by, 16 or 17, Brum? Can I get a FanDuel line check whenever you get a minute? And the only reason why is because I want to show that Alabama is clearly the favorite, and I want to preface this conversation with that. But Alabama was also a 20-point favorite.
17.5.
Okay, perfect. Ooh, 17.5. So that's gone up. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
It was 17 yesterday, which I thought.
Yeah, not a lot of faith.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of shows you exactly what we're talking about, right? Not a lot of faith in Arkansas, the same way there wasn't a lot of faith in Texas, but Texas hung. So let's try to craft a scenario, Aaron. If you look at this Arkansas team and you look at this Alabama team, what does Arkansas need to do if they would somehow engineer this upset?
Well, I think the first thing they need to do is KJ needs to be Superman minus the jumping at the 3-yard line trying to score versus A&M. Like, just eliminate that Superman mentality. Just take it down a notch. So KJ, and this is funny, I think I said on the late night show before you got in on Saturday, I was literally crafting a tweet because KJ was playing well versus A&M. I was in my tweet, it was saying, I thought KJ was a second round pick last year. I thought he probably should have left for the NFL. He decides to come back. He's working his way to a first round grade. I love this kid. I was copying and pasting into my Twitter. And just as I was, he fumbled at the 3-yard line. I was like, thank goodness I did not hit send just yet. So I did not tweet it out. But honestly, that's my feelings of KJ as a quarterback. Like, he is someone to me who has a lot of good things going for him. Big kid, can run, very physical, tough to bring down the pocket. I think he has excellent ability to throw the football down the field. He's kind of flirting with that second round, maybe early third round, to could he jump into the first round? Could he be a guy that someone trades to like pick number 28 and scoops him up before the end of the first round, knowing that someone's going to try to get him early on the second? Like, that's how talented of a quarterback KJ Jefferson is. This is the game for him to make that statement. This is the game for him to tell the world and to tell the NFL, I deserve to be a first round guy. So he has to play like it. He has to continue to take care of the football. He has to understand that he's going to have to run the ball more and be more physical and take that punishment and understand he's going to feel like dog crap after this game, but this is going to skyrocket my draft stock possibly. So he has to have a game. Rocket Sanders has to have a game. I think they have to take some shots down the field. We saw, how did Texas have success? They took some shots. They challenged Alabama's secondary. They got some good calls. And they made some big plays down the field. So KJ has that ability. I think they got the guys on the outside. Landers has to have a big game. But I like that 17.5, man. I do. I think they can, at least on the offense side of the football, I think they can move it on Alabama. And I think they can eat up the clock with that powerful run game and that offensive line.
So Dylan Meadows in the chat here asks, can Briles call an all run game with KJ and Sanders trying to dominate the D line? Look, if there's one thing you're probably not going to do on this Alabama team, it's dominate them on the ground. They are elite right now against the run. Even in the game in which they were tested, Texas, they were elite against the run, only giving up 79 rushing yards. But as Aaron just told you, where they did seem to struggle was if you could challenge him down the field vertically. We all remember how comfortable Quinn Ewers looked at the beginning of the game. And we've seen some of that out of Arkansas this year. So, yes, offensively, KJ in that attack, maybe through the air. And then again, with KJ factoring his threat, his legs, like you said, Aaron, maybe you get some of the air. On the other side of the ball, because here's the deal. In case you kind of checked out on Alabama after that Texas game, and granted, that's been their one big test, right? But they have dominated everybody else. Like, Bama basically sits once again atop almost every offensive and defensive category in the SEC. But if you look at that Texas game, the one time that they really had a true test, which they almost failed, one thing that Texas team did is they were able to consistently get to the quarterback. I mean, even to the point where there was a safety that was a safety but wasn't called a safety, still very confused as to whether or not the correct call for that Bryce Young play should have been. But they hold Alabama to just 5 of 15 on third down. And how was that? It's because they were putting him in third and long, and they were consistently getting after him. Well, Aaron, I look at this Arkansas team. Well, this is the point. I was going to say, who is the number one team in the nation when it comes to sacks? And you can argue, it's Arkansas. Dude, they have 20 sacks in four games. Second place in the country right now is Middle Tennessee with 16. So they're not just first. They're first by like a wide margin. So they are sacking at a rate that nobody else is. And that's with an all-quality schedule. There's no BS on Arkansas's resume right now, save for the one game. I can't remember who it was. But they have a much more legitimate statistical sample size than most do. Now,
100%.
So here's my question here, because
You know why they get after the quarterback is they have two of the best blitzing linebackers in America. I mean, if you turn on the tape for Arkansas, just or watching on a Saturday, and you expect to see this offense performance with KJ in the offense, and then you kind of really dissect what they're doing on defense, Drew Sanders and Bumper Pool are phenomenal at the linebacking position. Like, they will line them up, especially Drew Sanders. Watch him, number 42 for Arkansas. They will line him up as a defensive end. Like, he's that talented of a pass rusher. They'll just move him around, find your weakness, say, okay, your guard's weak or your tackle's weak. We're going to line up our linebacker, not a DN, not a D tackle, and he's going to put pressure over and over again on your quarterback. And that's what they're going to have to do, because everyone is listening right now that have heard me talk about Arkansas's defense. They struggle on the back end, and they played better last week, but that's against an A&M offense that we know is not prolific throwing the football. I think adding Miles Slusher in there at nickel has helped out a little bit, but the reason why they're going to have success on defense and the reason what they're going to possibly keep this game close versus Alabama is those linebackers have to continue to perform at a high level, whether it is blitzing the quarterback or one of the top targets for Alabama right now is Gibbs out of the backfield. whether it's angles or quick pop passes or swing routes, you know, they're going to be asked to do a hell of a game. Like, they need an MVP type game at the linebacking position to keep them in it. And I think they're good enough to do it. I really am. So I say that, and then you see Alabama last week and their receivers performing at a high level, and you see the comfort that's going on with them right now. But it was against Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt's worse than, I would say, Arkansas when it comes to DB. So I still don't know exactly how good Alabama's offense is going to be this year. So I love that 17 and a half, man. I may jump on that here before it gets under 17.
You have an idea of how bad A&M's pass offense is? Arkansas was giving up 351 yards a game in the air. That average after one game against A&M is down to like 303. They just lopped 50 yards off their average. That's how bad Jimbo's offense is right now. But look, that is a concern. Bryce Young's elite. Now, he doesn't have the weapons, so maybe that's where the 17 and a half becomes more attractive here. But like, the coverage has to hold up well enough to let the rushers get home. And on that, we will see. So in the end, Aaron, I think to sum it up, obviously, I don't think that Arkansas wins here. I think there's a bit too many flaws, but there's enough to like here where, yeah, I'm with you. I would take these.
Well, heading into season,
I think the
question, if you preseason were looking at Alabama's schedule and you said, okay, they got to go to Texas, they got to go to Arkansas, which game are you more confident could somehow pull something out of their ass and win?
It's true.
I would go with Arkansas. And
yeah, definitely.
I don't think I think what we've seen from Alabama for the past two seasons, from Jimbo winning there at A&M, which was a far inferior football team, to Georgia winning the national championship. I'm not saying people aren't scared of Alabama. Alabama's still Alabama, but I don't think they're as intimidated by Alabama. They're still the big bag boogeyman a little bit, but I think there's another possibly bigger brother on the block, which is the Georgia Bulldogs, that now people are more like, if you polled most teams in the SEC, they would say they're more concerned with Georgia. Like, Alabama's lost a little bit of that scary factor. And I don't think Arkansas is rolling to this game at all intimidated by the Crimson Tide.
No, and I don't think Arkansas is really intimidated by anybody, for what it's worth. In the Pittman era, I feel like they play very confident. What an ironic twist, though. You're saying all this, but now it's Georgia who has to deal with the tougher half of the conference, while it's Alabama who kind of gets the pass by being in the SEC West. Speaking of the SEC West, so Lane Kiffin was once again in the media, and you know, he's rocking the new Realtree camo that all the Ole Miss frat boys are so excited about, the Ole Miss Realtree collaboration that nobody really wanted, I guess except for Ole Miss fans. Here is Lane Kiffin, though, sending a very clear message to the Ole Miss fan base.
You know, when you come back out and you run out the tunnel and it looks like, you know, a high school game playing in a college stadium, you can't let that affect you. I mean, you know, there's psychology to that, obviously. There's a home field advantage for a reason. And, you know, when it goes the other way, you kind of have that feeling, you know, that, man, are we still really playing in a game here? You know, the players have to fight that. So, again, we use that as a learning lesson for our guys. So, if that's the case, that's the case. But, I mean, I'm worried about what I can control. I've tried social media in here for 2 years. So, you know, we'll worry about what we can control, and that's getting our players ready to play.
I mean, my God. Okay, so I have two big takeaways on this, Aaron. First off, the apple did not fall far from the tree. Was that Nick Saban somehow body jumping into a younger Lane Kiffin? I mean, that was unfreaking believable. From the Coke bottle to the way his palms rested on the podium, the kind of, I don't know, man, the frustrated shoulder shrug, and the actual content of the message. I mean, who doesn't remember Nick a few years ago publicly admonishing the Alabama fans, and especially the students, for leaving early, right? That felt so Saban-esque. And what's interesting is, you know what the Alabama fans, when he did that, when Saban did that? They stayed. Why? because Saban is their god and protector, and he says jump, and they will say how high. They would do anything to make him happy. My second takeaway in this Lane Kiffin video is I think this is a genius move by Lane, because it also right now plays on Ole Miss fans' greatest insecurity, and that is the fact that Lane Kiffin will leave Ole Miss. You know, maybe it's like for Oklahoma in a couple of years if Venables doesn't play out or something. Like, there's superpowers out there that will slobber and rush to the podium to bring Lane Kiffin in and pay him $100 million. And Ole Miss fans know this and they fear this. And so when they hear their coach sounding discontented, it's an awful feeling. And I know Aaron Murray because I went through it, man. I'm a Pelicans fan, okay? The toxic relationship that was Anthony Davis and the Pelicans was awful. You're just constantly, you think he's better than you. You don't deserve him. You're constantly trying to make him happy. You're reading between every little quote that he has. Oh, do whatever he says, whatever he takes. And you know what he did? He still left you. It's a very bad feeling. And Ole Miss is now in that same boat as well. So I'm very interested to see if the fans heed the call here and start sticking around, even if the Rebs are blowing out a lesser opponent.
Well, you bring up an interesting point about this whole thing looking like and feeling very Nick Saban-esque. And you know, I've kind of felt like we've had discussions and it's been an ongoing conversation for a while now. It's like, okay, who's going to take over when Nick Saban moves on? And it's not going to be Kirby. I don't think it's going to be Dabo. But like, who is willing to take over the greatest coach of all time? Like, to step into those shoes and try to keep Alabama going in the right direction? And to me, if there's anyone that I would have my eye on, it is Lane Kiffin. And I know he's been there, and I know it wasn't the best of endings and kind of really crappy the way that it kind of unfolded there. But at the end of the day, you're talking about a coach that has, in my opinion, matured a lot, that has had success, that we know is a heck of a coach, especially on the offensive side of the football. And I think he thinks highly enough of himself that he thinks he can take over once Nick Saban does move on. So I'm not surprised that he continues to do little subtle things here that kind of, once again, remind us of some of the stuff that Nick Saban's done in the past. But I don't fault him for it. Like, if I'm a head coach of a team that won 10 games last year, the first time that they've won 10 games in the history of their program, that is undefeated, that may be a top two or three team in the SEC West, I'd be pretty pissed off too if fans weren't showing up and staying the entire game. Like, you only get so many home games a year, and sit your butt down, have some fun, enjoy the football, and cheer your kids on. So I love it. I hope it works, and I think it will. I think right now there is a lot of love with Lane and Ole Miss, and Ole Miss with Lane, and a respect too based on what he's done, that I think they're going to listen to kind of the plea, and then they're going to show up in a big way this weekend and going forward.
Well, okay, so that is where maybe the Ole Miss fan base, Aaron, looks out a bit here, is because their home cupcakes are done at this point, right? They got Kentucky this Saturday. Then you got Auburn at home after that. You got Alabama at home after that. And then you finish with Mississippi State and the Egg Bowl. Okay, so this is going to be and I think my headphones just died. Let me switch over real quick. This is going to be probably a packed Oxford for the rest of the season, but I am interested going forward if this message will resonate, because I think you're right, man. Like, especially if you're an Ole Miss fan, dude, like, how spoiled are y'all? I mean, you went to Ole Miss, so I could have guessed it, but like, come on, man, you finally get a top 25 college football team and you're not going to sit down there and enjoy it? Get out of here, dude. Nice, you got 69 watching, so nobody leave and nobody else join. Okay, we want to keep it right here. Josh Jones from Alabama says, please put us on upset alert, you goons. Whatever, Josh. Y'all are not the Alabama of old. Like Aaron said, there's a new dragon in town. They're looking to burn you down. Dart James says, the Grove is like a field with a family reunion on it. You know it's going to be bad, but you kind of feel obligated to go.
Everyone's like hating on the Grove. So I had their game 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I didn't like go and experience the Grove. Like, I didn't like walk through. Like, we're in the stadium. We're like, okay, we got 30 minutes to kill. Let's go check out the Grove. So we left. We went and walked around the, you know, essentially just very, just on the outside of the Grove, just kind of peeking in, looking like, oh, that looks pretty cool. Yeah. And then, you know, we had to get back and obviously do our job. So it looked like a good time, but damn, this chat is just going in on the Grove right now, which is a little surprising because I've heard nothing but good stuff usually about the shenanigans well, yeah. that do go on there.
Well, I mean, look, we got a bunch of LSU and Georgia fans in here as well. Okay, I think my head, whatever, we'll figure it out. Right, okay, I'm back. I got you. So we're going to learn about Ole Miss this weekend, and I can't wait. The crowd should be electric. I cannot wait for this Kentucky Ole Miss game. As we said, it is the man versus machine battle, right? The machine loves Ole Miss more than the men do, while the men love Kentucky more than the machines do. A little teaser maybe for some Friday best bets. Mm-hmm. Team snaps. Big fan of Kentucky this year. Chris Rodriguez returning this weekend. We'll get into that more on tomorrow's show.
We look at our top seven points, games man. Of the weekend. Seven points right now.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points for a top 10 team.
SEC legend, my co-host here down in Louisiana, Jay Kester, also loves him. Some Stoops and the Wildcats. As much as all this Kentucky love is, though, there's just as much Miami hate in the air right now as Miami loses to Middle Tennessee once again. Shout out to Abarge in the chat. Abarge. I'm not exactly sure how to say it, but he is a Middle Tennessee grad. That's right. An alumnus of the school that has now beaten Miami three times in a row. Over the last 80 years, 3-0 all time. And it caused Mario Cristobal to say, quote, "We've got a long ways to go. I knew we had a long ways to go upon arrival, but the progress that we had made in some respects, I feel like, well, certainly we've regressed and we've got to do better." So Cristobal said it pretty straight there. I think Rick Stockstill, coach of Middle Tennessee, Aaron, probably said it best when he was summing up the state of Miami. He said, quote, "They gave us 1.5 million, but they got 1.6 yards per carry." They paid Middle Tennessee $100,000 per tenth of a yard that they were able to rush for against, what is it, the Raiders, I think Middle Tennessee
the
is?
Blue Raiders.
Either
the
way,
Blue
dude.
Blue Raiders, yep.
Bad times in Miami, man. What do you make of it all?
I'm a little shocked. And obviously you can't put too much into it because it is a first year head coach. Like you get a little bit of a grace period, but it's not the fact that they've lost a couple of these games, but the way they've looked, especially versus Middle Tennessee, like you should never, like it was never a game. Like that's the issue. Like you can roll up in a game like that and you are, you know, we all know that the far superior athletes, the better athletes, and it should be the better coaching, and you should dominate or win close, or if something fluky happens, maybe lose by like a field goal or something, but you should never get blown out of your own stadium. And that's what happened. We want to talk about, you know, Ole Miss and fans not showing up. I mean, Miami, right, for goodness sakes, like they could care less about football in that stadium, but you should never, as a power five team going against a group of five team like that. I mean, they're not like it's not like you're playing Cincinnati, what we've seen from Cincinnati the past couple of years, or like say Boise State from like when I played, that was always very good. Like, no, you're playing Middle Tennessee, nothing against them. One of my roommates is one of their D line coaches. So no hate to good old Power Chin Roy there, but you should never lose a game in that fashion. And that means that there's some sort of disconnect in my mind with what's being preached from that coaching staff and how it's being received from the players in that locker room at the moment. So that's not a good sign. I know you're trying to build a new culture, but it doesn't seem like those guys are buying in. And that's why you always give that grace period for new coaches of bringing in recruits, whether that's now the transfer portal or through recruiting, that guys that fit what you're trying to build both schematically and culturally as well. And you're going to have to weed out some of the, what we like to say, the cancer inside that locker room. So I would not be surprised that after this season, you're going to see some heavy transition of guys leaving Miami to go in the portal and them also bringing in guys through the portal as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to continue to try to do whatever they need to do in terms of turning over personnel. But I think the problem for them is they believed they had already done that. Like, they believed a lot of this offseason was just that. And now you look, four games in, you're 2-2. And your two wins are over Southern Miss, in which you did not cover and did not look particularly good, and Bethune-Cookman. You lost to Texas A&M, not scoring a touchdown despite getting 27 first downs. First team to do that since 2000. You lost to Middle Tennessee at home and lost badly. And when you look at Mario Cristobal's overall record now, what are we talking about, 64-61? Like, it's bad. It's really poor, but he keeps getting these big jobs. And there's always been this idea of, is he a bit fraudulent? Like, is he a great interview? What exactly is going on here? And obviously the fit at Miami is fantastic, but sometimes we may overrate fit. And so, like, Cristobal's resume.
He won at Oregon, though. He won at Oregon.
Okay. Not at any greater rate than anybody else has. He did exactly at Oregon what everybody's done. It was actually worse than Chip Kelly. So he didn't even reach those heights. He did okay at Oregon. Like, when does Oregon ever go 500?
Most of the losses came before he took over the program. So I don't think it was a bad hire. Like, you look at his resume of what he's built at Oregon, and you say, okay, that's pretty good. Like, that's
enough. He didn't build it at Oregon. Chip Kelly built it at Oregon.
To sustain it at a somewhat respectable level, I guess you could say. But once again, it's not like Miami is this hot job that they're a consistent contender in the ACC, and there's this top 25 team. Like, not a lot of people were just banging on the door like, hey, let me go be the head coach of Miami. So I think where he is in his career kind of fit what Miami is. And the issue is, as us who grew up watching Miami and grew up watching the U and how great they were, we expect them to be here. And then that warrants a coach that's up here, but they're not. They're in the middle of the pack. They're a middle of the pack ACC team to below. Yeah,
they're just an average and ACC team. What does
that
team warrant? Yes, average to below.
That warrants an average coach. So is Mario Cristobal not an average coach at an average job right now? So I think the fit's perfect.
Kind of know that. Okay. That's a great point. That's a great point. I think, but that is the circle that Miami fans are having to square right now, right? That's what they're having to make peace with. Is the disconnect between where they think they should be and where they maybe are. But the big red flag here, and look, Cristobal had a very good 2019 Oregon, 12-2, 8-1 in the Pac-12. Now, they blew the game that would have put him into the playoff. I think it was against Jaden Daniels, maybe, and Arizona State. But they go 12-2, 8-1 that year. They do end up winning the Rose Bowl. Otherwise, he lost the Vegas Bowl, won the Red Box Bowl, lost the Fiesta, and lost in Alamo. 9-4, whatever. His record was all right at Oregon. I maintain he didn't do anything great. But now you look at Miami, and it would be one thing if Miami was where they were last year, Aaron. But especially when you zoom in on quarterback Tyler Van Dyke, it is deeply concerning. Tyler Van Dyke last year finished the season as the second highest rated quarterback in the ACC. He threw for 293 a game, completed 62% of his passes, 9 yards per attempt, 25 touchdowns to just 6 picks. And that's after a full ACC schedule and all the legitimate Power 5 opponents that entails, right? This season, in those 4 games, of which you've only really played one good team, no disrespect, A-Bard, shout out Blue Raiders, but this season, Van Dyke is down to 59% completion. Only 200 yards per game, an absolutely pathetic 6.8 yards per attempt, and 4 TDs to 3 picks. That isn't slight regression. That is marked regression. Yep. And you may say, T-Bob's not that simple, right? Like, there's a lot of context. And I get it. If I covered Miami in depth, if I was a beat writer, I'm sure I could find explanatory factors for that step back. But, beyond just the correlation of Cristobal being hired. But the bottom line is, when it comes to the court of public opinion, that's a level of nuance that you are not going to engage in. It looks like Mario Cristobal got hired there, and that, you know, that potential all ACC, maybe even all American quarterback, now looks like one of the worst quarterbacks in the conference. In fact, from number 2 in terms of QB rating to number 11. In the conference here early on. Like, that's where I would be concerned, man. It's not the lack of improvement. It's the literal regression that you're seeing.
And you can blame coaching a little bit on that, but you can also blame, and going to come to Cristobal's defense here, and the quarterback's defenses. Well, it's a new system, and all of a sudden you're also not hiding. Like there's certain people that can handle expectations. Like, hey, you're the cream of the crop. You're a first round draft pick. You're going to be a first round draft pick. You're going to be an all ACC quarterback. Some guys rise to the challenge. Some guys don't. And I don't know the kid personally. I don't know his personality. I don't know if he's ready to handle that. It kind of, you know, it's like I was talking today. We had our coaches call with South Carolina, and we were talking to them about, you know, Spencer Rattler and his transition from Oklahoma there to USC. And he's played pretty piss poor this year, and he's had a lot of turnovers and a lot of stupid throws. And, you know, the coaching staff says they have to continue to remind him, like, hey, man, I know that there's these incredible expectations that Spencer Rattler, the guy that was, you know, going to be the Heisman Trophy winner, the guy that was going to be the first round draft pick, and, you know, things didn't work out, but now he's getting a fresh start at South Carolina, and he's going to, you know, he's a quarterback, and we didn't even have a quarterback last year. All these expectations, and you just got to relax and play ball. So for Van Dyke, I just wondered two things. One, did he put too much pressure, or is he putting too much pressure on himself to be that first round caliber? That's the first thing. And then two, it's a new system, man. You got to learn new terminology. You got to learn new progressions. You got to learn new footwork. You have to learn with the personality of the coordinator, how you interact with them, a lot of new. So is the kid first round talent? No. Like, I think talent wise, I think he's good. So I think we overhyped him, and I thought like he may have known that he was getting overhyped, trying to do too much. And obviously is not even close to what we saw last year, but talent wise, the kid's a mid-round draft pick at best. And I mean, and once again, just like Miami, we overhype anything to do with it, and we set the bar way too high. I think we just need to look at that program and certain individuals that are part of that program and understand that, like, man, let's just lower the bar a little bit.
I mean, I guess though, but Van Dyke was awesome last year. And I get it. Maybe it is the kind of do it in the shadows thing. Like, that does hold a lot of weight with me. I feel like the new system aspect of your answer, though, is a direct shot across the crystal ball bow. Because if he is failing to grasp, again, if he is failing to grasp the new system to the point where he drops from 9 yards per attempt to 6.8, from 290 per game to 200 against the level of competition that they've played, well, the new system sucks. Potentially. Yeah. So I look, Miami loves the idea of college football more than they like actual college football. Like, the fan support shows that. If it weren't for John Ruiz, the booster support would show that as well. Cristobal's got a long way to go. Aaron, anything on Miami before you get into the new hit game show? Use your words.
No. We've bashed them enough. We'll let them go. Listen, it's still, I will say this, it's still early in the season. Like, we're four games into it, new coaching staff. I know it looks pretty crappy right now, but, you know, it's still early. So we'll see if they can turn around. I don't think they can, but you never know.
It does look crappy, which is why instead of the U, they should be called the Poo.
JLab has something for everyone, with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics and NIL deals, JLabs joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start the NFL week off right with a no sweat bet same game parlay every Thursday from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's right. What's up? T-Bob here from Snaps, your new favorite college football show. Check it out if you haven't already. And I don't care if you're new to FanDuel or if you already have an account, because check it out. Every Thursday night, you'll get free bets back if your NFL same game parlay doesn't hit. Are you kidding me? Same game parlay is the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday this Thursday night. Okay, an awesome game. Tua and the Dolphins taking on Joey B and the Bengals. Dolphins undefeated. Looked awesome. Bengals struggled out the gate. Why are the Bengals favored by 3.5? It's stinky and me thinky. You should go with Cincy, okay? So I'm going to do a little Cincy minus 3.5. Jamar Chase anytime touchdown score. Joe Burrow over 1.5 touchdowns. Nice and easy. 2-1 payday. You could do that with a no sweat bet. So what are you waiting for? You can build your own like I just did, or you can choose from one of the popular same game parlays pre-built for you in the top-rated FanDuel Sportsbook app. So check it out every single NFL Thursday, no sweat, same game parlay. Just sign up with the promo code SNAPS if you already don't have an account. That's promo code SNAPS to get free bets back if your same game parlay does not hit. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Take it away, Brumley.
That's a hell of a transition there. All right, guys. Time for Use Your Words. Do you guys both have your whiteboards, or Aaron, did you leave it somewhere?
I have my whiteboard ready to go.
I am shocked.
Fantastic, because you're going first. All right, Aaron, the fourth best team in college football so far this year is?
USC, Southern Ooh. Cal, baby. Ooh-wee. You know what? Because we know how good the offense is. There's no doubt in my mind. This is one of the best offenses in the country. They had a little bit of a blip this past weekend, but when you got Dye and Caleb and the receivers, like, they're going to score points. The big question was, how good could the defense be? Now, I'm not saying that this is an elite defense by any means, but they're getting turnovers. 11 interceptions so far this season, 3 fumble recoveries, 14 total turnovers. They're finding ways to keep people out of the end zone. While they may not be dominant, they're finding ways once again to be successful. So, I think there's questions for obviously Clemson still, you know, and Clemson I was thinking would be my four, but I just need to see DJU do it 2 or 3 weeks in a row. And if he can do it 2-3 weeks in a row, then I'll say, okay, maybe it's Clemson. But until I see it, I'm going to go with those boys out west right now.
All right. The fourth best team right now in college football is Tennessee.
Ooh.
Tennessee, that's right, the Volunteers. However, Aaron Murray, fourth best, and who will make the playoffs are two different things. Because unfortunately, you can be, if you're Tennessee, you can be the fourth best team in the country, but you can have two of the teams in your conference that are better than you. And look, we talked about Tennessee yesterday, right? Ultimately, it is their pass defense, probably against the powers of Stickavius and Bryce, that will hold them back. But if I look on this list, I could see an argument for taking Tennessee over Michigan, certainly. I could definitely see an argument taking Tennessee over Clemson, Tennessee over SC. SC would not stand a chance in hell of stopping Tennessee. I think Oklahoma State's been interesting, but I think Oklahoma State's going to get a
Tennessee
bit cannibalized.
Would Tennessee stop USC, though? Would Tennessee stop USC?
I think Tennessee would be better suited to stopping Tennessee than the other way around. And maybe I'm wrong there. I mean, we all talked about how Anthony Richardson literally threw for more yards against Tennessee than every other game of the season combined. So I get that there are flaws right now, but there are flaws in every single team 4-10. But I see nobody with the threat that Tennessee has. Like, none of these maybe Michigan's defense is kind of as threatening as Tennessee's offense. But outside of that, like, Kentucky's a very solid football team. We'll learn there. But yeah, bro, I'll go Tennessee Volunteers. Does not mean, though, that they will make the college football playoff, because they will not. Kirby's Visor, T-Bob, WTF, no way. They're fourth best. T-Bob, you're high, says Jack Harrington. Jack, what does that have to do with this? T-Bob, okay, that's neither high here nor there. I'm a licensed medical
Michigan
owner,
I will agree with Harrington. Michigan, I think, is overrated. I think their defense is good, not great. And I think their offense is not very good. I think they're average. I think they're going to struggle. They struggle throwing the ball vertically down the field. You watch it. It's a team that has to run the ball. It's a team that dinks and dunks and throws, you know, quick outs and hitches and slants and drags, and that's about it. Like, if you ask them to win you a game pushing the ball vertically down the field, which you're going to have to do against elite defenses, they're going to struggle. So I think they're a little suspect. But I do agree with you, T-Bob. Like, 4-10.
You know who can push it,
like,
down the
such
field?
A big, big drop. Oh, yeah. Tennessee pushes it better than anyone else.
So, and look, chat. And A-Bear says, T-Bob's record in picking winners. Okay, it's 5-7. Okay, guys, look, 0-3 was bad. 0-3 last week threw me such a deep, dark hole that on Sunday, I almost didn't even watch the NFL, and I chose to just paint a scary Halloween house with my daughter all day and, like, play with them, because I literally needed to climb out of the sadness hole. So, yeah, I get it, but check this out. Again, the fourth best, right? USC on this list has the best chance of making the playoff. I would put them and Clemson kind of 1A and 1B in this regard. Everybody else, I mean, you could kind of give or take. But then again, I would maybe take Tennessee over SC and Clemson at this time. Go look at Clemson's defense this year. They are awful. So, yeah, I'll say it again. Tennessee. All right, next.
T-Bob, so far this season through 4 weeks, the MVP of college football is...
All right, the MVP of college football so far, I meant to write Big Penix Energy, okay? I wrote Big Penix Jr. Actually, RG3 may be one of the big winners of college football thus far this season, as I did not expect to love him, and he used Big Penix Energy in a game, and I loved it. Like, RG3 against all odds has won us over. But Michael Penix Jr., should be college football's MVP. Aaron Murray, go look at who leads the nation right now in yards per game. It's Michael Penix Jr., 347 per, 10 yards per attempt, 12 TDs, one interception. Nobody has meant more to their team. They got a big win over Michigan State. Who'd they handle this last week? Let me look it up real quick, because they've got two good wins in a row. And if there's a threat... they beat the hell out of Stanford, beat the hell out of Michigan State, beat the hell out of Kent State, worse than your Bulldogs did, Aaron. Okay, Huskies greater than Bulldogs? Maybe so. You know what? Maybe Washington's the fourth best team in the country because of Michael Penix Jr. They got UCLA this weekend. Very excited to see that one. UCLA kind of sneaky good under the radar. Michael Penix Jr., though, your September MVP.
Well, you know why they're so far under the radar, because no one shows up to those games out there in Los Angeles. So that's why. All right, my MVP for the beginning of the year is Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker, yeah, quarterback, Tennessee. Hooker for Heisman, baby. I'm just waiting for the t-shirts to start showing up there in Knoxville. Hooker for Heisman. 72% completion, 8 touchdowns, the 3 rushing touchdowns. And I think he had multiple Heisman moments last week versus Florida. And I know Florida's defense has been struggling the past 2 weeks, especially versus the run. USF crushed him. Tennessee, especially Hendon pulling the ball down and running it versus them, killed him. But he's going to put up stupid stats. He's going to throw and rush for multiple touchdowns a game. He's in the best conference in America. He's going to be on primetime television over and over again. Like, this is his moment, man. He's a first-round talent. Yep. He's a big kid, big arm, athletic as hell. I'm excited. I think he can split one of those games, and I'm hoping it's versus the Crimson Tide. And I think it is more likely versus Alabama than it is versus Georgia. But I think he's good enough, and those receivers are good enough for him to continue to put up crazy numbers. So my early hype goes with your number 4 team in the country. You ain't number 4 without Hendon Hooker. So that's why they're up there.
There we go. Brum, what we got?
And finally, the best team in the Big 12 is blank, Aaron Murray.
The best team in the Big 12 still is Oklahoma. I know this past weekend, I know this past weekend sucked. It wasn't a great game. They kind of got beat up on defense, but I trust Venables. I trust Venables will get this thing better. Not Clemson elite defense that he has been a part of for the past, whatever, decade, but it will continue to get better and better each and every week. I think there's good enough personnel on that side of the football. And plus, I'm loving what I'm seeing on offense with Dylan Gabriel and Eric Gray and Marvin Mims. Like, they're going to score points. This is still one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in that conference, with a defensive-minded head coach that has not slept an absolute wink this week, trying to figure out how to get that defense playing at a higher level. So at the end of the day, if you match Oklahoma up against most of those teams in that conference, I still think majority of the time, the Sooners are going to come out on top.
Boo! Coward answer after they just got handled by Deuce Vaughn.
I think it's actually a ballsy answer after they
Kansas
got
State. No, I mean, just chucky, chuck. Because the answer is not Oklahoma, but instead Oklahoma State. Bang, 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 boo, 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 boo. That right there. Guns up, baby. That's right. Oklahoma State and Gundy. And check it out. If you actually look at their resume, I know it's not the strongest this year, right? Yeah, but what I do see is a defense, while it may not be as dominant as last year's defense was, it is a solid defense, okay? But this year, the Gundy offenses of old are back, okay? Spencer Sanders is balling. I think Oklahoma State feels, at least right now, like the most complete team in the Big 12. Even if they're not going to out-talent in Oklahoma, I think they know themselves better. I don't think they're going to go undefeated or anything, right? And I desperately wanted to answer Kansas here, see what Kansas does against Iowa State this weekend, and maybe I end up getting there. But it's not that they're going to out-talent Oklahoma. They know themselves better. And really, I would apply that to the rest of this league, right? Like, who played in the Big 12 championship last year? Oklahoma State against Baylor. I'm impressed with Baylor. Love Grimes. Love Aranda. Coming around to shaping in a big way. But at the end of the day, it is the maturation, the fermentation, the time on task that Mike Gundy has had at Oklahoma State, the emergence of Spencer Sanders. Give me the Cowboys to win the Big 12. I think they are the best team in the Big 12.
Yeah, just wait till Spencer Sanders starts turning the ball over in big time moments before you start crowning them. The combined record for their opponents right now: Central Michigan 1-3, Arizona State 1-3, Arkansas Pine Bluff 2-2. So
yeah,
I think they are a good team. I would probably rank them 2 or 3, but we'll find out more this weekend versus Baylor. They haven't played anyone yet.
Yeah. This is where it starts. The Cowboys definitely need this one. This could all fall flat on its face if they go look like crap against Baylor. I am giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm also still dinging Baylor
for BYU. Really, if I was ballsier, I would have answered Kansas. And I do have a bet in on Kansas this week, and I hope that they smash Iowa State. But we'll see. We will see. Rock Chalk, Jay Hawk. Aaron Murray, thank you so much, my friend. You have a great show. Have a great day. We'll see you later. Thank you to everybody in chat. Dirk James, Mind of Rin, Jack Harrington, Tony V, Josh Sibley, my guy in there, Brian Burgess, Bill Baggins, everybody, man. Look, we love doing this show. If you could like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, if you subscribe to the pod, share with your friends, that'd be awesome. Rating, reviewing helps as well. Shout out to the FanDuel. Use promo code SNAPS. And thank you, as always, to Uncle Colin for making this dream come true. Make no mistake, this is a dream. So if you want to support your boys, help spread the word about the show. And we'll be back with more Snaps tomorrow. And thank you to Ryan Brumley, our excellent producer.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota BZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.